Hello, everybody. Welcome to the call. So this is a little different. Josh and I recorded earlier in the week, and of course, I get this crazy text message. Josh sends me a video clip from The Hangover of Ed Helms' character going, "What is going on? I've been working all day." And I go, "You okay there, buddy? What's up?" And no, terrible news. So if this episode sounds a little different to you guys, it's because we're doing an emergency recording on Thursday night. It's past 10 o'clock, way past my bedtime. I'm an old guy. So Josh, he's joining me right now. Josh, let's start the show off. We're gonna still give you guys the entire show that we recorded. This is just going to be a little extra we're putting on at the beginning here, but let's talk about it. Two major injuries happened today at training camp at the Castle. Josh, what's going on? So I hear you said it was Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters. What's going on here?
Yeah, man. I was also really busy at work at the tail end of my day. My phone was going crazy, and I'm like, what is going on in the world? So, of course, more terrible news for the Ravens. More season-ending injuries. We have now another running back hitting the shelf, Gus Edwards, out with an ACL tear, and also fellow defenseman Marcus Peters. It's not looking good, man. We just lost three players in a week at practice, and we had Dobbins out for preseason. What is going on in the water in Baltimore, man? Pete Schrager of NFL Network actually reported on it, saying they were apparently two non-contact freak injuries. I don't know the extent of Gus's yet, but I heard Marcus Peters, he was trying to cut and plant and kind of just, I guess, cleats or knee got tangled up somehow, and it was a freak accident. So both incidents were freak accidents. They weren't like it wasn't like a contact or defensive player. Cause my first instinct was like, are the Ravens going hard in practice? I would be hard pressed to understand how they're going that hard days away before they leave for Las Vegas, but terrible, terrible blow to the Ravens. Terrible news all around, man. They went out and got Devonta Freeman, who tried out for the team this week, just like Lev Bell. So now your Ravens running backs are Tyson Williams, Le'Veon Bell, and then we did add a Trent Cannon, and then now it's Devonta Freeman. So the Ravens running back situation looks very grim, very dire. There was jokes all around that Lamar now has to lead the team in rushing. Probably will, if you want to go that route, I guess. But you don't want your star quarterback being the leading rusher again on this team. But right now, Brandon, we don't know who the Ravens are going to be starting at running back Monday night. The dust hasn't settled yet, but my personal take really quick, it's got to be Tyson Williams, man, because you figured he's been in the system already. He had a monster preseason for the team. It's got to be right now, short-term outlook. Tyson Williams, RB1. I would put Lev Bell at number 2 and Devonta Freeman number 3, and then I'm sure Trent Cannon will work his way in there. As in, like we said, the special teamer, kind of the running back. I don't know what that depth chart is going to look like yet. So I guess stay tuned to see what happens on Monday night. We'll break it all down next week after the game and then kind of see where we're at moving forward. But depending on what Tyson Williams looks like, who knows what this running back situation will look like. They could, you know, Lev Bell could have a resurgence and he could be a starter. Devonta Freeman, it might be a timeshare of all three. We don't know, but you got to feel for it, man. You know, Gus Edwards had the opportunity to start. You know, we were all excited for that. And Marcus Peters, man, losing an all-pro like that's detrimental to the secondary, who is really bolstered right now. And then now they're decimated with that. But
is that a bigger hit to, you think, the running back core than, I mean, of course, like you just said, Marcus Peters, losing him, that's a huge blow. But the secondary is pretty good right now. I mean, it sucks he's not there, but they've got some good players.
I think the running back situation's worse because you're already down Dobbins, and then Gus Edwards was our best back. Not to discount what Tyson can do. We only seen what he can do in the preseason, right? But, you know, I feel like the running back situation is grim. You lost three running backs. You basically went in the season. Look at the running back situation. The running backs were supposed to be Dobbins, Gus, and Tyson, and Justice Hill, right? All three of them are gone.
Yeah.
So now, that's what I mean. It's worse. Like, not to discount Marcus Peters, to discount the secondary, but they still got, you know, Jimmy Smith. They still got Marlon Humphrey, they still got Tavon Young, they got Deshaun Elliott as a safety, they got a good secondary. So it's like the Marcus Peters sucks. It's kind of like it just adds more salt to the wound kind of deal. But now the passing game really comes under a microscope, because I feel like now the passing game's got to carry the weight, because I don't know if this rushing attack's going to get it done. I hope the guys prove me wrong, but adding two players that were basically free agents and castaways and they weren't starters on other teams and they haven't played in quite a bit. And Tyson Williams is pretty much that unknown wild card, but he's young. He ran hard in the preseason. He earned the right. So, dude, it's grim, man. But yeah, what a blow. I mean, and I know everybody's freaking out. We haven't played it down in the regular season yet. We're already starting off on the wrong foot. So, but so it goes, next man up. Dude, huge blow, man. And it was just two freak accidents that happened, not contact, just probably planning and turning. And what Peter Schrager reported for NFL Network, he was kind of saying how he didn't go into detail about Gus, but he said about Marcus, he said he tried to plant cut and probably just kind of locked his knee up, or the cleat didn't dug into the turf and kind of tore his knee apart. So we wish these all guys, Dobbins, Hill, Gus, Marcus, speedy recoveries for next year, man. But huge blow to the Ravens rushing attack, man. That was been first in the NFL for the last couple seasons. And we know they were 32nd in the pass last year. And you know, and they started off on the wrong foot with Bateman being out a month or so. So it's not looking good, man. The Ravens are looking more like a triage in a hospital at this point. But man, I hope no more injuries happen this time, because I think the Ravens can't afford it anymore. You think?
Does this change your opinion on the game on Monday up against the Raiders? Are you still thinking the Ravens can come away with a victory?
I'm going to stay steadfast. I'm not going to take back my pick and prediction. I'm still going to stick with Ravens and Raiders 27-20, as I stated. But it does impact it a lot. But I'm going to stick true to my pick. But I did read a lot. Like, it was kind of funny because, like what you were alluding to about, like, the Raiders, the first game back in Vegas, it's the road game. A lot of the Raiders, when they were doing the NFL picks, kind of alluded to that, saying, like, can the Ravens overcome? Like, they were picking the Raiders to win in a narrow margin, like, by a field goal, because they were like, you know, the Ravens are a better team on paper, which they kind of agreed with what I was saying. But then they were saying how, for the first time that stadium is going to be filled up, it's the Black Hole, it's the Raiders, it's the first real game that Raiders fans and the Las Vegas fans can really sink their teeth into. And that'll be, he said, the home team's going to get the advantage by 3 points. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than what it should be or what it was going to be. I'm still sticking with Baltimore. Still's got the better squad, but obviously Raiders had the leg up in the rushing attack now with Josh Jacobs. So the keys of the game are very simple. I like to see what they can do first. It's going to be tight, though. I don't think the Ravens, a lot of people are predicting even double-digit win for the Ravens, and I'm like, it might even be a touchdown or less. Like, I have the Ravens winning by a touchdown, and I'm not wavering from that at all, as much as I like to try to change that. But I think it's going to be a lot closer game, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens were to lose this game, to be honest with you, just because of – and I like to see who's going to step up in Marcus's place. And I think Jimmy Smith's going to really take that on, and you're going to have Jimmy on that and step up in the full-time role with Marcus, and then Marlon Humphrey on the other side, and then Tavon Young out there. So I think that's what you're going to see the secondary look like. The starting lineup will be announced in the days coming, and if the dust all settles, we'll know who's going to start. Wrapping our heads around this, man, it's – yeah, I mean, it's just, wow. How much bad news can the Ravens get in an offseason before they even start a season, man? That's all I got to say about it. It's just, wow.
Yeah, so this is going to be rough. I also see the Ravens still coming away with a victory on Monday. Do I really think it's going to be the score that I said it was going to be? You can find that out later on in the show. No, I don't.
I just gave it away.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit closer, like you said. But listen to the end of the show to hear what my prediction was. I don't think it's going to be what it was. I think our offense is probably going to be putting up maybe 21 points, something like that. I think I originally said like 37, but I don't see that happening now. So unfortunately, this is what we got to do. We got to get through this. I know there's some fans out there saying, can we even get to 10 wins? Let's see how let's get through the Raiders first, and let's see what happens.
Let's take it one game
next.
At a time. I mean, at this point, with them being so decimated, I mean, you're right. You can look at the season as a whole and say, okay, can they win 10, 11? Can they get to the playoffs? But I mean, the NFL should be taking one game anyway, right? You got to take it, you know, quarter by quarter, play by play, you know, game by game. And just like how you hear the players and coach speak about it, you know, when they're up at the podiums and all that, and the media tries to dig in and ask about a future opponent, and they're like, we're worried about this guy in front of us. Like I know everybody's hyped about the home opener with the Chiefs and all that, and like, you know, can't wait to get there. But in retrospect, I mean, you got to get to the Raiders. We got to see how the rushing attack looks, how the secondary looks. But we got to have faith that the next man up can produce, and we'll be fine. But You can't replace those names and the talent, but again, you got to have faith with the players that can get it done. And, you know, you gotta have hope that's going to be okay. I mean, there's definitely two ways to look at it. The only two ways you can look at it, you can look at it glass half full or glass half empty, or we're not going to make the playoffs and this team sucks and this and that. But I mean, you still got number eight under center, got Mark Andrews with the contract. He's going to be the, probably the leading man and the leading playmaker for the offense now as it stands, and not to discount what Marquise can do. You know, the connection that Lamar and Mark have, and it goes without saying, and it's easy. Mark Andrews and Lamar are the best two playmakers on this offense right now. And you know, that's a fact. So, see what's going to happen, man. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough sledding to go the whole season, decimated like this. And, but we'll see what, Devonta Freeman and Trent Ginning and Le'Veon Bell can add to the ranks. Excited to see what young Tyson Williams can offer. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Absolutely. So that's it for this pickup, guys. We're going to roll right into the show. We'll let you hear that intro, that music that you love so much. So, hey, let's see what happens Monday. But unfortunately, Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters out for the season, it looks like. ACL injuries.
Ooh, breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news on the show. It's good news. Ravens and running back Latavius Murray are working on a deal that would bring the veteran free agent to Baltimore for Jeff Cerebic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go. Breaking news. As we on the show, good thing. So, Ravens might get the running back that we seek after all. So, Latavius Murray would be a huge bolster to the Ravens.
All right. Sorry. So, yeah, that's good. Let's end this part on a high note instead of such a low note. So, Ravens facing some injuries, adding to the ranks as well. So that's it for this little pickup here, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show. Go Ravens.
Life's scarcely more than murdered. Other friends have flown. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we go, everybody. It is the regular season, finally. We've waited so long. It's been so many months, but the regular season is coming. We got a couple more days we got to wait. It's coming up this Monday in Las Vegas up against those Raiders. But uh-oh, do you hear that? Ding dong, hello. There's somebody new on this team. Le'Veon Bell is a Raven. And you know we're going to talk all about that. Joining me as always, we're going to discuss this because, like, you guys know my feelings on Le'Veon Bell last week. I brought them up. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you feeling? How you doing? Regular season, here we go.
Regular season is upon us, man. I'm pumped. So NFL season week one is here. Ravens open up the show on Monday night at the Strip in Las Vegas. And what better way to do it? It's going to be awesome, man. I can't wait. It's here. Let's talk all about it.
Yes. I'm super excited, but before we can talk about the Raiders, there's a couple things, of course, we got to get out of the way here. Let's talk, I know we're going to talk in length of Le'Veon Bell, so let's just get the other news out of the way. Mark Andrews, he got paid. He's here for 4 years, a new contract for him. He's one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. What are your thoughts here on that Mark Andrews contract? I'm excited he's going to be sticking around for a while. Obviously, him and Lamar get along very well. It's kind of like, you know, Flacco, Dennis Pitta back in the day. But Mark Andrews making some big money here for a couple more years. I'm ecstatic. What do you think?
I absolutely love it. I'm ecstatic just like you are. it's the next great tight end in the long list of tight ends here in Baltimore, man. I mean, you know, whether it's free agency or draft, I mean, you know, Shannon Sharp, Todd Heap, Dennis Pitta, Mark Andrews, list goes on and on and on with these tight ends, man. And well-deserved, right? You know, and who'd have thought it would be him and not Hayden Hurst, right? Hayden Hurst was drafted 25th overall, even drafted first before Lamar. You know, the Ravens had to trade back in the first round to get Lamar, the second pick in that round, so 32nd. So, you know, Mark Andrews emerged out of nowhere. You know, obviously they drafted both of them respectfully in the same draft, but Mark Andrews emerged right away, became that leader right away on the offense, pass-catching tight end. He leads the tight ends in touchdowns. I mean, you look at the elite companies in, you know, when you talk elite tight ends in reality and even in fantasy, Mark Andrews is right there. I mean, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, you know, they're kind of like right there, 1 and 2, in my opinion. So, you know, this is great for the Ravens organization. Not only that, but for the love of Baltimore, right? You hear other players, you know, I love Baltimore, and they talk about the love of Baltimore, like Marcus Peters. Remember, the Ravens, you know, caused him to kind of self-reflect and kind of fall in love with the game again, as you heard. You know, you hear Marlon Humphrey always preach, you know, loving Baltimore, and several players just doing the same thing. So for Mark to really be solidified here, not only that, but we know the wide receiver woes the Ravens have had. It's no secret that Mark Andrews is Lamar's favorite and best target right now. It was evident in the few couple plays in the preseason, right? First two plays, it was Mark Andrews, and they went right down the field past midfield. So this is a wonderful signing. It came on his birthday. What even more fitting. Very excited for his contract. Very excited to have 89 here for quite a bit. Catching passes and touchdowns for Baltimore. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right, so now let's get down to the big news, the big stuff. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins.
You mean Terrence Cannon?
Hey, we're going to bring him up, absolutely. J.K. Dobbins, he went down. We talked last week. We were like, oh, there's a couple players out there, but we're really happy with who we have. Obviously, the Ravens like everything they have. They like the depth here. Come Monday, we find out that Justice Hill, he's injured. He's out for the season. So that means that the Ravens are down to Gus Edwards and Tyson Williams, and then that's it for running back. So obviously, they decided to look around the league, see what they could find, and who do they find but Le'Veon Bell. Big name here. We brought him up last week. He worked out this past Monday. The Ravens apparently were impressed with what they had, and they signed him to the Ravens practice squad. Obviously, they have plans for him, kind of like what they did with Dez Bryant last year, and they're going to call him up. I wouldn't be shocked. By the time you're listening to this, he's already a part of the team, of the 53. So, Le'Veon Bell, man. I kind of voiced last week, I was not a fan. I was not happy about his name being associated with the Ravens in the past. Here he is. You were kind of for it when there was talk of him coming back a couple years ago. Why should I be excited about Le'Veon Bell now?
That's a great question. You come with the hard questions today. What is it, 60 minutes?
I'm trying.
I mean, seriously.
60 minutes too.
Yeah, pretty much. 6-minute bowl game, as Ray always said. Why should you get excited about Le'Veon Bell? For one, it adds running back depth because we had two on the chart. Got to get excited because I wouldn't say it takes the pressure off Lamar. I want to go there, but it just adds in a running back. And not only that, but they added. Now, I would say I said Terrence before. I do apologize. Trenton Cannon. So they added. There was a name out there was thrown around. So I think you should get excited about that because of, you know, what he could probably provide, right? He is an NFL veteran. And with – yeah, I feel like Gus is a veteran in his own right, but with Tyson Williams, you know, and the tutelage right there, right? You got a Gus Edwards who's been on the squad. He knows the offense. And then you got a Le'Veon Bell who's been there. He's played alongside future Hall of Famers Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. He was on a great Steelers team who had a great offense. He was one of the triplets there. He gave us fits for years, right, in the heyday. I feel like, again, and I'm not here to persuade anybody. Again, there's two sides of the fence. You know, you're on the side, not a fan. I'm on the side, and I'm like, hey, just like I was excited about Dez Bryant last year. It wasn't my favorite player, but I always drafted him in fantasy. He was a great fantasy running back a few years back, but not anymore. And again, I think it's because everybody gets excited too, because, oh, it's Le'Veon, it's name. It's like, we just sound like Dez Bryant. Like, Dez Bryant was a shell of himself. You know, Baltimore, yeah, he caught some passes. He had some catches, a touchdown, but it was that thing like, hey, he finally threw up the X for Baltimore last year, right? It was that excitement like, we signed a Dez Bryant, and then obviously it was my favorite receivers. And just it's I feel like it's the cool thing to talk about, right? Like, oh, the Ravens signed journeyman Le'Veon Bell. Like, yeah, we finally got him, right? Plus, for the fanfare added to the fact that he could play against the Steelers twice a year this year, given that they end in Baltimore and then go to Pittsburgh. So it's and that could be it. And number one, two, it's also exciting because see what he has left. A lot of people I get, right? There's a reason why he was out of the NFL. You know, he was a free agent. I like it when people call old, and it's crazy. When we say old for running backs, it's because of the mileage they put on. It's because of the wear and tear. But, like, it reminds you, he's 29 years old. He's 5 years younger than me. And, you know, when you put it in perspective, it's like the dude go out there and ball. I mean, I saw his workout video. I mean, I'm not an expert, but, you know, he would beast all of us in the workout room. So, you know, let's see what he's got. I feel like it's low risk, high reward kind of brand. So I feel like that's why I can get excited, because it's like, and it's a budget friendly. And I'm going to kind of tie this all in, because fans for some reason think that this is fantasy football, right? A player gets released, let's go pick him up. Like, are you writing the checks, guys? Like, time out. Like, it's exciting, right? Now, and I grant it, I would take Latavius Murray over Le'Veon Bell anytime, right? I mean, look at his averages per carry. You know, he's averaging close to 5 yards per carry and then 7 yards a catch. But, and we're talking about Latavius Murray just got released by the Saints, but he got released by the Saints because of what? He wanted more money. He wants starter money because of what he did last year. And he did that last year with even Alvin Kamara leading the way. Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns in one game on Christmas Day, dude. And we know it's Alvin Kamara's show out there. He kind of wants a better role. And it was put out there, and I follow some of the salary cap guys on Twitter. Latavius Murray was looking at neighbor like $3 million this year. The Ravens don't have the cap. So you're looking at, like, number one, this fits the budget. It's right player, right price kind of deal. It's like, look, you know, it's kind of like Dez Bryant, like, take a chance. It's kind of like the running backs to now, our running backs this year are like the receivers last year for us. Like, there's a reason why the Ravens took a chance on Dez Bryant in the middle of the season, because there was nobody out there. Nobody was getting it done. Yeah, you had Marquise Brown, and that was it. Miles Boykin was like, he just disappeared. You know, we didn't, it's just a lot of players just disappeared off that rival receiver core. I mean, Duvernay was up and coming, but it wasn't giving the production. You haven't really heard of a James Prochet now that you obviously merged. These guys are coming in their own. So I feel like that's why you can get excited, Brandon. I don't know if I've moved the needle for you in my speech, but it's a pure death move. It's cap friendly. Why not? Because what if he does? And again, he's not starting, right? What if he pans out? What if he's a change of pace back and a third down back? What if he, and again, what if he takes a few goal line carries? What if he takes a couple of screen passes? I mean, if he can produce for the Ravens still and they want to take a chance on him, sign him, and then ultimately elevate him, who are we to say no? I'm not saying you're not getting excited doesn't put faith in the best front office of the NFL in history. No, it's just a lot of people, I think, like, really, it's like they want to go that younger, faster, but I'm like, why not? You know, we finally got a veteran in the room, in the running back room, even if Dobbins is not playing. Again, I don't know how these injuries work with Dobbins. Like, I would hope to see him on the sideline. I know he's got to do all the resurgeries and recoveries, but it's like, I don't know if he would get access to Le'Veon Bell, but maybe there's something there. And when you watch Le'Veon Bell run in his prime, in his heyday, what was the thing that stood out? His patience. You know how patient of a runner he was? He wouldn't even, like, hit the hole like Gus does, like, get the ball and just go. He would actually get the ball and almost, like, stand still, and he would, like, find a hole, and then he would just go. So that was always what drew me to his running style. He's a patient runner. He was a viable catcher, and we knew the drama that was involved with he wanted the money, and he went to the Jets and kind of just got irrelevant, right, just disappeared off the map with that big contract. But it's a revival. He's young. Ravens are taking a chance, and I feel like it could be all right. You know, I'm just excited about it because it's Le'Veon Bell, and I know, like, you know, you alluded to a couple years back, we were kind of doing that whole free agency thing, and would he select the Ravens? Would he not? It was the Eagles. Is it Jets? There was the Packers. There was a lot of teams thrown out there, and the Ravens were certainly in the mix before all that. But I feel like, obviously, hindsight 2020, we're better for it. We got J.K. Dobbins, got Gus Edwards. But, and also, I think you can't really go into the season with two running backs. So they had to do something. And I just felt like they were going to take a chance on Le'Veon Bell just because he was here before, right? And he was not here before, but he did visit. He was tied to the team. And I don't know if you caught my message out there, but it was kind of crazy, right? When I got the text notification that the Ravens were hosting Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman, I actually went out on one of my fantasy teams and picked Le'Veon Bell and put him on my bench just to see like what could happen, right? But I dropped him for like a player who's like a third string running back on the Seahawks. I don't care. So, and it was funny, 2 days later they signed him. So I'm like, I must have known something. So somebody was like, how did you know? I'm like, I didn't know nothing. I just pure speculation. But not only that, but then they had more depth. They signed Trenton Cannon from the previously from the Carolina Panthers, who they were linked to and rumored could bolster the running game as well. So now they went from possibly two to double. Now they're four. So again, that's a pure move for depth, and I absolutely love it. And for all those who are excited about Le'Veon Bell and following his journey, and I think it's just another factor to plug in there that he comes to an AFC North opponent. You know, he's familiar with the division, familiar with the Steelers, and if he pans out, great. You know, if not, it's just, again, just like this, Brian, it's low risk, high, it could be a reward, not high reward, but it could be rewarding in some fashion. And I don't see the harm. I don't see the harm. I mean, yeah, if you had to ask me, yeah, I would love the Latavius Murray. I would love other options out there, but just like the fantasy waiver wire, go in your drafts right now for all the fantasy enthusiasts who've already drafted the day before the season started, right? I got one more tonight. Go on the waiver wire. It's bones picking. It's almost the same thing fantasy. Who do you want to pick up? Who's out there? The Ravens are hosting Freeman and Bell. What's that tell you? Like, there's nobody out there, and they're not going to make a trade. They're not that kind of team to make a trade. And Brandon, here's the thing. Latavius Murray, that's a signing. And I want to help folks understand this. Not only is it a signing for the salary cap because he wants money, but Latavius Murray, if I feel like you're going to bring him in, that's a multi-year deal. Bell's going to be a one-year rental. And then Dobbins comes back. You're thinking like Le'Veon Bell's going to come in and like start for the Ravens, like take over for Dobbins. Like, ah, I don't want him. He's washed up. I'm like, he's not starting. Chill out. Time out, guys. He's not starting. Let me put it a day right there. He's pure depth. He could get in there and who knows what happens, but the way Gus Edwards has handled the job, it's his to lose. Right. And two, Tyson Williams is running as a possessed running back out there in preseason. So he's got the number two position, but who you got left? You got Lamar running it. And that's it. So I love the signings purely for the fact that we didn't do it. And I said this today, Brandon, and I will be even more firm here on the call about it. These moves were not made because the Dobbins got hurt. These moves are made because Justice Hill got hurt. And for all those experts, he got hurt in practice, not preseason. So again, as we alluded to a show ago, the whole should you play a player, should you not? And this is why we're signing two running backs. So everybody relax off of that and leave that to rest. You think, you know, it just is what it is. It's part of the game. That's why I said any player can get hurt anytime, anywhere, anytime. Practicing, walking up the stairs, can of groceries, or playing in a preseason game. Part of the game. Unfortunately, it happens. I wish both Dobbins and Justice Hill full recovery, but this is why we're in this position, you know, because injuries happen in the NFL, and fortunately got to sign guys. So see what they got. Be fun to get a Le'Veon Bell jersey. Yeah, we got it's just cool. It's just cool. He's finally a Raven. For those who were for that back in the day and are a fan of his, and see what happens. But it would be interesting to see that if he does remain number one, what's his role going forward is the next question, and we can't really know that, right? He's got to get acclimated. He's on the practice squad, even with Cannon. We don't know what the roles are going to be yet. We know it's a depth move. We don't know they're going to get in the game, if they're just going to sit there, ride the pine until an injury happens. We don't know what could happen. But in respects to what might be down the future, I like to see if Bell is on this team the whole year, because I like to see if he's on the team at least through that first Ravens Steelers bout, because I guarantee he'll probably want to get in that game. I think it's going to be all right. Could the Ravens probably have done better in that regard? Yeah. Best front office in the NFL. There's money to be had. This isn't fantasy football where you just pick up players off the wire with no consequence. Like, there's a – it's a business. There's a method to do all this. There's a reason Bob probably took a chance on Bell. I'm not questioning your method, right? You can dislike it all you want. But I just like to tie it all in and be like, who are we to question it, right? If they want to bring him in, great. But we as fans, that's all right. You know, we can choose to be not a fan of a signing. Be like, yeah, this guy sucks, or he's washed up, or I would have gone this route. But just for the fans out there who probably – there's more to there's more to this than it meets the eye. And just so much, set the record straight and try to, you know, get your brain thinking a little bit and say, hey, it's a business. Right now, Le'Veon Bell and Trenton Cannon are the two newest Ravens. How about that? Cannon, Bell Cannon. Sounds like a little Christmas theme here. Bell Cannons, Bing Bell, Cannon of the Bells. I don't know.
Oh, Carol of the Bells.
Cannon, that's what you're doing. Oh, yeah. I was doing some fun work.
Yeah.
For whom the bell tolls. I mean, the Ravens already come out. That's going to be the name. I mean, that would be fitting. He comes out.
Yeah. That's going to be the name of our episode this week. I have a feeling.
For whom the bell tolls, or didn't toll, for Brandon's sake.
So
that bell does not toll at all. But yeah, I rest my case. But there it is, our new running backs.
So here's my biggest concern. So I agree with everything you said. It is low cost, which is good. That's what we like to see. He's a veteran. He's been around the league. He knows how this league works. He's only 29, like you said, which I didn't realize he was that young. 29. You look at that video he posted out on Twitter. I mean, he looks to be in phenomenal shape. So he's putting in the work. He's doing what he needs to do. However, my issue with him is what he's going to bring into the locker room, because we know the history with the Steelers. He sat out a year because he wasn't happy with the contract that he had. He went to the Jets. He fizzled out. He just got done this past year. He kind of was bad-mouthing Andy Reid, which, let's not forget, Coach Harbaugh, he worked under Andy Reid for many years. They run their teams very similar. So is Le'Veon Bell going to be able to thrive in a place where he didn't thrive before? You know, under a coach like Andy Reid, now he's got Harbaugh here. Are they going to be butting heads? Because we know Harbaugh likes to have control over his team. There have been like locker room talks, I guess, between players of what they should do and shouldn't do. And Harbaugh has taken people that were kind of troublemakers in the locker room and, you know, shipped them out. You know, we saw that happen with Bernard Pollard back in the day. So can Le'Veon Bell keep his attitude in check in the locker room?
I think he can, just like a Dez Bryant, right? You know, Dez Bryant was – how flamboyant was he in his heyday?
Sure.
Obviously, with experience comes wisdom and maturity. Le'Veon Bell is not – I would say he's not the same. Just like – I mean, it's kind of like Antonio Brown, right? Not that – I mean, we know the character Antonio Brown is, but it's kind of like in the past year, he's kind of not been in the news, it seems like. And like Bruce Arians was just on the record appraising him, saying he's back to his kind of like old form, putting in the work, you know, and those always come up, like issues come up. And I feel like with Le'Veon Bell, and you know, you bring up valid points about his past and all that, but I feel like the contract situation, that was in his prime. He felt like, just like any player would hold out, he felt like he was worth a certain dollar amount. Just like how Aaron Rodgers was doing the drama this past offseason, putting the Packers through it. You disrespecting the reigning MVP who's playing that game, and then ultimately he was a Packer. I already knew he's probably going to stay that way. Those situations are just unique in themselves. I don't think the person that Le'Veon is now is, I mean, it's the same guy, but I don't think it's the same person. And I think he's, you know, a lot better, a lot more mature. He understands that this is a role-based opportunity. This isn't like coming in and starting, and I want starter money, and, you know, he's not dictating anything. He, the Ravens are like, we're going to offer you an olive branch, and if you don't like it, there's the road kind of deal. And I feel like just the same thing. Let's give him a chance to see what he's got. But I feel like those kind of issues are well in the past of what the guy and the guy who he used to be. And it's not at that point in his career when he needs those shenanigans. You know, he was a free agent. He wasn't even on a team until the Ravens said, hey, let's invite you in for a workout. Let's have you in. So I feel like he can get along with that. But no, it's very valid points for players like that. But and then didn't Dez Bryant have nothing but love and nice things to say about Baltimore at that point? I mean, there were some times where he kind of said, he kind of both sides, like he loved his time here. He appreciated Baltimore given the chance, but then he was like, you know, he had things to say about like the schemes and all that. But I just felt like, you know, he's past his prime to even warrant that. And he wasn't a major role player in the offense, and, you know, see what Lev Bell's got. But yeah, I think he can certainly get along with Harbs. I don't think he would be a disruption at this point in his career. You know, if you were signing him when the, you know, I think if we were visiting this years ago, it would have probably been an issue, but I think it's in the past.
Let's see what he does. I don't want to count him out, you know, just yet. Let's see what he can do. Like you said, maybe he has matured a little bit. I don't know if people can change. People can definitely evolve. So let's see if he's done that. But if the Ravens are willing to give him a shot, I'm right there with him. I believe in this front office. I believe in Coach Harbaugh. So if they believe that he can help this team and he can be positive in the locker room,
And wouldn't you say we have a great culture, just like, yeah, alluding to absolutely. The Mark Andrews extension, like with Marcus Peters, how flamboyant is Marcus Peters? And he still brings that edge, but I feel like, you know, I get it, right? It's hard when you have a John Harbaugh, but also I feel like John Harbaugh's changed, you know, a little bit too, maybe, because like, look at Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters reminds me of kind of like a Bernard Pollard a little bit, like brash, doing stuff. I mean, dude, he was leader of the logo stomp, doing things, swag. I just think maybe people can evolve. Like maybe Harbaugh has changed a little bit and say, you know what, let me let these guys be these guys instead and let them be themselves instead of like, you know, this is how I'm doing things. If you don't like it, leave. That was 9 years ago. Again, men can grow, men can learn, and men can change. And I feel like this organization, what better way, if you do have a troubled player like that, what better way to bring him in an organization that's preaching up? But I love my team, love my city, love the organization, love the community. Love the camaraderie here, and it's a family. And let's see where it goes. See what happens, man. But I'm excited to see what happens. Yeah.
You know what's really interesting, too? All of these past experiences that Le'Veon Bell has had around the league, he's been the number one guy. He's had the world put on his shoulders. He's coming here. He's on the practice squad. He's not the number one guy in Baltimore.
It's humbling.
That's going to Gus Edwards. Yeah. That's going to Tyson Williams.
And when, he knows that.
But when he's coming in, he doesn't have all the pressure in the world. He's got the pressure of being the third string guy, the guy who's not going
to
play
that
much.
Team.
So it may be a good thing for him to not have all that pressure on his back, where he can actually go out and he can focus on one play at a time and do his best work one play at a time. It might be a good thing for him to not be that number one guy, to be able to play one play and then sit and rest and focus on what the next thing he's got to do. We don't know, but it may be good. Being in this limited role is not a bad thing, I don't think.
No, not at all. I don't think it is either. And I think it'll do a lot of good. I just feel like there's more cons than pro or more pros than cons in this instance with Le'Veon Bell, and we'll see where it takes us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
we definitely need a running back depth. So, hey, I like signing a veteran like that. And then we followed it up by signing Trenton Cannon, so see how it goes.
And there's a good chance we see Trenton Cannon more than we see Le'Veon Bell, because Trenton Cannon, he's a big guy on special teams, and John Harbaugh, we know he was a special teams coach before being the head coach of the Ravens. We might see Cannon more on the field than Le'Veon Bell. Might not be in that running back position, might be more on special teams, but I don't think this guy is just going to kind of be like a depth player. I think he's going to be on the field for multiple jobs.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be, what we alluded to, the Swiss Army knife, the Pat McCart. Put you here, and that's something I wanted to kind of start saying earlier, and I kind of stopped the special teams. And we're going to sign him and be the jack of all trades player. So I like where the team's heading as far as depth and role players, and we'll see what we can do with them. You definitely want to be strong heading into week one and then beyond, because hey, all of NFL teams, is the longest season yet. They added one more game, 17 games, 18 weeks with a bye week. This is it. This is all for real, and it starts Monday night. Under the lights in Las Vegas, big and bright. Hey, man, Las Vegas Raiders are first on the docket, first road game of the year, starting off on the road. It'd be great to get a road win right on prime time. I certainly think, you know, on paper, the Ravens pretty much dominate this game up and down, defensive, offensively. We know special teams they can do as well. Don't want to discount what the Las Vegas Raiders can bring, because they got some playmakers. I mean, Josh Jacobs is a great running back. I mean, I have him on a few of my fantasy leagues already this year. It's even going to be fun, because one league, I actually do have Gus Edwards and Josh Jacobs on the same team. So Monday Night Football will feature my two running backs head-to-head. So it'll be fun for all the fantasy enthusiasts out there. But, no, I mean – you know, this certainly presents a matchup. This is a winnable matchup on the road, right? You know, we're not talking, this isn't the Chiefs. This isn't, you know, Cowboys or the Buccaneers or the Steelers. It's the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, and they've had some struggles as of recently. I mean, they were a playoff team a couple of years back. And then when Carr got hurt, they all kind of faltered, and they haven't been back since the relevancy. But they got a few of our old players, and Willie Snead's on the squad as well as Yannick Ngakoue. So we're going to have familiar faces over there when the sidelines lining up across from us. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. The likes of, I know Henry Ruggs had a down year being a rookie last year, Brian Edwards as well. So they have a very, very young receiving core, and former Raven now turned pretty much tight end superstar of his own, Darren Waller. So this game features two. It would have been featured Dobbins and Josh Jacobs, but Gus Edwards still star of his own right. Josh Jacobs, but this is going to be a battle of the tight ends. Darren Waller and Mark Andrews. Who do you think comes out on top in the tight end battle on this one?
Man, Darren Waller. It is a shame that he had his issues in the past, and he's not a long-term Raven, because, man, What a story this guy has. He's absolutely fantastic. You know, he scares me as a Ravens fan now. You know, I really do think he can make an impact, and it's going to be kind of difficult to tie him down. But luckily, this past Wednesday, Jimmy Smith was able to return to practice. And yes, that's going to be a huge tool. There's no word as of this recording if he's going to be playing Monday or not. I guess it's good that he's got an extra day since it's on a Monday instead of a Sunday game. But having Jimmy Smith back to combat Darren Waller, that is a huge plus for the Ravens.
Oh, very much. Huge plus. We need all the help we can get, especially our secondary. And Darren Waller certainly been a great journey, right? Seeing his journey, I mean, he was cut because of his substance abuse issues. He's got on the sober track, you know, fellow sober, including myself. So I certainly applaud him for what he's doing and putting it out there and doing the walk. And he's been rewarded. You know, his play has been rewarded. And not only that, but he's a top five fantasy tight end along with Mark Andrews. So not bad. You know, not that you want to put down your resume. I'm sure the players don't care, but it's always good when you're drafted high in fantasy and highly regarded. It means you're producing and you're producing well enough to do that. So he's coming to his own, but again, battle of the tight ends. But I feel like this comes down to two keys. Very easy on offense against the Raiders. Stop Josh Jacobs and limit what he can do on the ground. Limit Darren Waller in the air. I mean, I feel like if you can team both of those gentlemen, it could be a very, very good night for the Ravens there. You know, Josh Jacobs is a bruising running back. We know he's north and south. Hit you right, square, run you over, and kind of reminds you of like that kind of Derrick Henry running style. He's a physical running back. You know, he's relieved by Kenyon Drake, who's in the second slot running back. So we'll see how this matchup breaks down. But, you know, that kind of revealed some of the keys to the game there, obviously stopping Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller. But for the Ravens, you know, looking to our guys here, what has to go right for the Ravens? I know we saw a couple of miscues towards the end of that unfortunate drive where Dobbins got hurt. There was a sack. There was a misread. You know, what do you feel like the Ravens got to do offensively to really take it to the Raiders and keep the momentum going?
See, that's the biggest question mark for me. That offensive line is – we haven't seen a lot of that complete offensive line play. So I am a little worried about how much time they're going to give Lamar, because obviously, you know, without J.K. Dobbins, we don't have our number one running back. So I assume that Lamar is probably going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. So we're without Bateman as well, number one draft pick as a wide receiver. So – I assume that the Ravens are going to be relying a little bit more on Lamar's arm instead of the running game a little bit more. Does this offensive line give Lamar enough time to let plays kind of set up? That's my biggest worry. I definitely think that there's a lot of talent on that offensive line. We have Bradley Bozeman in center now in a new spot at a professional level for him. So I want to see what this offense can do. I definitely think they can get it done, absolutely 100%. But I think they're going to need a quarter or a quarter and a half, maybe even the first half of this game, to really kind of get in a groove and get things going, because they don't have a lot of time together. And the other thing you got to think about, big difference here, especially on Monday night, prime time, and in Las Vegas. That's the first time that the Raiders are going to be playing in that stadium with fans. The Ravens are coming into a very hostile environment. So,
and the Ravens haven't really played in front of their own fans yet. So this is fans total, not even a road or home, but period.
Right.
You know, apart from the 5,000 that were present, and then far from the few thousand that were present in the Buffalo game in the playoffs, that was about it. But this is a full house. It should be right in Vegas, a full house there. You know, there's no restrictions on capacity. So just like college stadiums were full this past weekend all over the country, NFL stadiums should be just as plentiful here and this weekend. So you're right. That could be a big factor. Indoor stadium too, in a place they never really played for. They're not familiar with Allegiant Stadium. So
right.
They can't go in there to, you know, they don't know what it's like, what the environment is. So, you know, they're pros. They know how to get it done, but you're right. It's unfamiliar territory for him right now.
If you remember in that game in Buffalo, it was the first time last year that they really played in front of a full packed house. And It was in the second half, and the Ravens got called for a penalty. They zoom into Bradley Bozeman's face, and he looks at Lamar. I remember this vividly, and he goes, "I can't hear you." So if they were having issues with being able to communicate on the field with fans in Buffalo, imagine what it's going to be like. First regular season game, full packed house in a brand new stadium with a city that
loves Monday Night Football on that end.
And a city
that 1 o'clock kickoff.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also in a city that loves football, but hasn't had an NFL team. So this is complete, like a brand new experience for Las Vegas. Completely. I mean, we saw how rabid they got for the Golden Knights in their first season as a hockey team in Vegas. This is going to be completely different. So this is like, we should not be overlooking this game whatsoever. This is going to be a very hard fought victory for the Ravens. I think they can get it done, but this is in no way going to be easy street for them.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park either, but I just feel like, you know, on paper, you know, looking at the matchups, they can certainly, they have the team to get it done. And, you know, the Ravens have a very winnable matchup on defense and offense. What's going to worry me is the passing game, right? We know what the running game is going to do. We know they're a rushing football team. With Bateman out, we want to see Hollywood emerge. We want to see a Perche and Duvernay get more involved. You know, Sammy Watkins even, right? Newest Raven, they're signing. Obviously, you can't forget about Sammy. So, you know, Sammy's resurgence, let's see what he can do. And the passing game's really got to get it in gear. And it can't be all Mark Andrews' shoulders. You want to see Lamar pass it more. You want to see him be more selective in his runs. And there's going to be some baked into there with Greg Roman of some designed runs on purpose. Get out of the pressure, break down when the pocket breaks down in the pressure and eluding that. I feel like the Ravens can really get a rhythm, and that's what it's about. It's about creating the rhythm on offense and finishing the drives. You know, you don't want to get down there and be stagnant and having kicking field goals 30, 40, 50 yards, or even getting in the end zone. Another thing is finishing the drives, not getting into the red zone, not getting on the goal line, and not getting a touchdown. Like, that can't happen. When you're that close, you're in the red zone, they got to put six up on the board as far as a touchdown is concerned. Anything less is you're trading at that point, especially if the other team's going to be scoring touchdowns. You cannot trade 6-3 every time and expect to win a football game. So it's certainly going to be a battle, but I think it's a battle that Ravens can certainly come up victorious. Now, if they are on the side of defeat, unfortunately, they are kind of back home looking the wounds at 0-1 versus 1-0. Not all is wrong with the world. I mean, they got 16 more games to do it in. I mean, it's kind of like, look at it this way. It's kind of like an extra game. So what if you lose it? You got 16 more. You know, it's, you know, I'm not saying it's a, you know, we want them to win them all, but it's probably not going to happen. Far-fetched to go 17, you know, it's hard to even do. I feel like the Ravens could certainly go into this newly famed black hole in Las Vegas, and I think they can get the job done. I feel like the Ravens, I don't think this might be a blowout by anybody's standards. I like to hear where you're leaning with this, but I am going to be on the record before we get on the prediction. I feel like the keys to victory are simple for the Ravens. First and foremost, take care of the football. No turnovers, no sloppy interceptions, no fumbles. Take care of the pill. And as I get so animated, I knock over my computer. Take care of the football. And then obviously I'm going to see the defense be more creative and creating a turnover. So the turnover battle is kind of like a 1-2 punch there. Take care of the football, but make them not to, you know, create the turnovers, do that organized chaos, get back to really getting back to it. And not only that, but cashing in. But I love to see the Ravens be more efficient in the passing game and see more people get involved, get more creative, not to get more vanilla, just to keep basic vanilla running in and doing the play action. I think the play action pass should be on display. They should come out, run like they did, and just open up the playbook and pass it and really, really let loose and show what this team can do in offense. Sometimes I feel like they get a little reserved for their own good. That's the keys to victory. And I feel like the Ravens are going to pull this one out on a Monday Night Football victory, victorious to end week one on a high note. Talk about flying high. I think the Ravens get this one done 27-20 in good fashion on the road in Las Vegas. What say you, man? How you looking at this one, Shakedown? You looking at you think the Mighty Raiders are going to do it against us, or do you think the Ravens can also come out victorious? What do you think?
I think this is going to be a rough one, but I do think the Ravens can come out with a victory. I definitely think that there's just so many question marks that I don't know about this offense of what they're going to be able to do just yet. I think this game is definitely going to show us really what they're all about. I mean, this is going to be the first time we're going to see Hollywood Brown on the field, Sammy Watkins on the field, like you said. Let's see how Gus Edwards does in this starter role. We know what Lamar can do. I think the Ravens are going to win. I think it's going to be just like a gunfight in the Old West, man. It's just going to be gunslingers. It's just going to be high intensity. It's going to be a crazy close game. I think that the Ravens are going to win, and I'm guessing it's going to be 37-27 for the Ravens.
Okay. I can get on board with that. 37-27. We'll see who's closest. You know, the winner gets Jimmy's, right?
Yeah. Well, right? You can get me. Right? You can get me a $75 crab keg. I'll get you a steak or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was Dom. I didn't do no double. I got a flame and yawn last night. Got to give Jimmy some love. Jimmy's always great to be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they were on Good Morning America earlier this week, so good for them.
I mean, they're doing a lot of great things, man. I mean, they got a cornhole tournament coming up. Tailgoats are going to be back in a week. Lord have mercy, I can't wait. But Jimmy's is always great here in Staples, Baltimore City. Love what they do. Love the food that they put out. It was a great time on Sunday night for the pay-per-view. All out, but I feel like the Ravens are going to go from all out to all in. I feel like we're going to be all in, invested in this win. It was crazy because when I was doing my notes for the show, I was really having a war because I wanted to sway towards that opening week loss for the Ravens. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it just because I'm like, I'm not a believer in the Raiders team. I just feel like they're a weaker, inferior team. And I get your factors, right? And the factors, I had the same concerns you did. You know, black hole, Vegas, not a stadium you're familiar with, opening night. And then usually opening night, you go towards like, oh, the hometown feel and the fans. Like you kind of just give them the home field advantage. But I'm like, this is a Raiders team that easily should be beaten on paper. The Ravens have a far superior team. This is week one. We're all healthy. There's no, other than Dobbins out, forgetting all the injuries that happened, right? Hill and Dobbins and everybody. This is the healthiest both teams are going to be right now. And I feel like the Ravens are just a far better team. And I'm like, and I'm just looking at from a football standpoint, I'm going with the better team here. Road or away, you know, home or away doesn't matter. And I just, you know, we love breaking down the call here, right? But we get some tough love. I mean, we can't predict Ravens wins in all 17 games this year. It probably will happen. And then they're going to lose half of them or five of them or four. We don't know. But, you know, but the fun of it is I look at it from a pure football standpoint, personnel, and I just feel like the Ravens can come out and punch them in the mouth, get out on a lead early, and then sit on it. And then and at the end, it gets a little bit closer. But I think they can certainly get the job done. And they had the players to get it done. They got the squad to get it done. And let's bring home a victory and get ready for the Chiefs next week. But we got to get through the Chucky-led Raiders. We know John Gruden's back on the sidelines for the time being for the Raiders. So it'll be awesome. It's going to be see the cool Ravens playing there for all the fans that are making the trip. We wish you great travels and enjoy the game. Enjoy the festivities. Root hard, root proud. We'd love to see purple in the stands. The stands will be truly purple and black. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait, man. Monday Night Football. Let's roll, baby.
All right, Josh. Well, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Quote the Raven, never myrrh.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing anything we find interesting or football related. We will share it with you over on the Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Are there enough social media apps out there? For the love of the good Lord, that's a lot of apps. I'm not even on half of them. Who cares? So let everybody know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Hey, if you're in Baltimore, they are having the countdown to kickoff on Monday night, and you can watch the Monday night game in the stadium up on the Jumbotrons. That's going to be a ton of fun. If you see me there, come say hi. You know, social distance, we'll take a picture, whatever we got to do, keep everybody safe. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, man. I'm excited to get the season underway. 2021, we're back. Baby, I can't wait to get to it, but we're going to have to wait a week to get it to the bank in week two for Sunday Night Football fun against the Kansas City Chiefs, our real arch nemesis. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers right now because we know Lamar can't beat them, but we got to get through the Raiders first to get through that, and it's going to be awesome. Monday Night Football, we got the flock party downtown, and for all those who don't know, the Ravens are actually opening the nest. They're opening the bank, whatever you want to call home. They're opening the stadium to us, the fans, for a watch party. We will be there in person. I can't wait to see you guys. I don't know where I'll be sitting, but I cannot wait to get there and enjoy the festivities and the atmosphere. Ravens themselves are doing a lot of fanfare leading up to the game. There's, I think, a concert to be had that evening. You know, there's some games. There's some local celebrities, local players, and it's going to be awesome. But getting after it. Leading up to the game of Monday Night Football. And I really can't wait to root the Ravens hard on a victorious Monday night and coming out of Las Vegas with a win. Raiders might think they get lucky getting football. And the fans might think they got lucky getting football in Las Vegas, but the Ravens are going to be the ones that have the last laugh. They always say the house always wins. We're going to prove them wrong. We're going to take it and have the luck on our side for once. And with that being said, are you ready? Are you ready for some football and the old Hank Williams song as we know it? Monday night style. Get your crab cakes ready because it's a Monday night party to be had. Las Vegas style. Baltimore Ravens. Ravens Nation. The flock. Are you ready to rock Monday night football? We're going to do it. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.